peanut butter sizes, and there's like the small tuna cans and the big tuna cans. Both are great, but the small tuna cans they can give out to individuals where they won't give out the bigger ones. They'll give those to families. So both are needed. Just wanted to give you that quick commercial break.
When is the last day for collections?
The last Sunday of this month. Yep. Yeah. So we still have a long ways to go. So keep going. And I just, whenever I go to the store, I just pick up a tuna or I pick up a peanut butter and take it with me and put it away in our bag that we have at the house. And so, yeah, and you can bring them in at any point. So we are continuing on. This is our last week with Journey with Jesus, learning from the Master about finances. And I was going to just end it, but I felt really compelled to go back and to look over each one of these and just be reminded of what we've learned from Jesus. So the first one was in Matthew chapter 6, and it's about you can't serve two masters. Remember that? You have to keep God first. You have to keep God first. How do I keep God first? Some of these I'll just do little blurbs on. This is one of them. Not on all of them, I promise. We got to keep God first. How do we keep God first? Is giving your tithes and offerings. If your hand is a fist, remember we talk about this. If your hand is a fist, your money's got you. Because money is more important, right? Luke chapter 6 is giving like your father. When Jesus gave us the parable, it was the parable about giving without expecting a return. We just give because our Heavenly Father gave to us. And so we keep going in that process. I wasn't going to share this, but I will really, really, really quickly. And this is not to say, let's see. My dream when we were young, newly married, you like that, honey? Young, newly married. We still are. When I would go to the grocery store, I would pray and I would ask the Lord that one day I would be able to pay for someone's groceries. That was my heart. That was my desire. And at that point, I couldn't barely pay for ours. But I had prayed and believed. And so over the years, I've done little things when someone's been, you know, short money or, you know, they forgot their wallet and a small item or something. But I've been believing the Lord for the big one. The big one. You know, where it's like, it's a step of faith, but you're so excited because you get to do it. And this last week, I was at Winco. And I pulled up into a line, and I was actually... Teresa had emailed me. She said, tell everybody hi. And I was texting her back, and I knew it was going to be long, so I kind of purposefully picked a longer line to make use of my time. As you're waiting in line, I'm texting, right? You got to multitask. And so the lady in front of me turned around. She's like, oh, you might want to go to a different line because this is something's going on with the lady in front of us, and her cards aren't working or whatever, and so you may want to go to a different line because they had already unloaded all their groceries ahead of me. And I said, oh, I'm doing a long text. This is perfect, right? And so I was texting away, and I heard a little bit more. You can kind of overhear what's going on, and I heard the lady say, I don't understand what's wrong. I've never had this happen before. And so the guy behind the register was trying to tell her what to do, and I just felt this tug in my heart, and the Lord said, this is it. This is it. And, you know, normally, like, there's a little amount of groceries, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, we can do this, right? And hers was long. And the Lord said, this is it. And I was like, okay, all right. So I walked up, and I knew the cashier because I go there a lot. And I said, so was she able to pay for her groceries? He's like, no, she's going to leave and come back. I said, I got it. Let me do it. And he's like, oh, that'd be great. Because obviously his register and stuff that he has to do. And so I didn't make a big deal about it. Just got my checkbook out and wrote a check. And the lady was bagging her stuff to go put it away to come back for it. And the guy walked over and handed her a receipt and said, your bill's paid for. And she said, what? What? And he's like, yeah, this lady back here paid for your bill. And she was like, I'll give you my address. I'll get your number. I'll give it back to you. I was like, no. It's okay. It's all good. God bless you. Be blessed. And she she just stood there and stared at me for a minute. She's like, I've never in my whole life had anybody do something like this for me. I said, well, ma'am, God loves you. Have a blessed day. And she's like, but I want to pay you back. I said, no, just pay it forward. The next time that you're in a line somewhere, you pay for someone else's. And she just started crying, and the ladies behind me are crying. And I was like, okay, I didn't mean to make everybody cry, right? And it was so neat because the lady in front of me that had told me not to to wait in my line, we had actually kind of started talking a little bit about some different things, and I was explaining on how we got onto a church thing that we got onto. And so after the lady got her stuff and left, she, the lady in front of me, turned around and came back and just said, where do you go to church? And she's like, in our Bible study, our church, we're just talking about being givers. But you are a giver. How in the world did you get to that place? And so I was able to share with her about our church, and I just said, you know, it's about listening to the Lord. And when he instructs you, I said, there's some times that he doesn't instruct me, so I wait to hear from him. I said, but when he says it, then we need to do it. And she's like, you're literally taking the scriptures for real and doing it. And I was like, well, that's kind of what we're all supposed to do, you know? And she's like, I just have to tell you, that really impacted my daughter and I to see someone actually walking out what the Bible says. And I said, well, you can do it too, you know? Just listen to the Lord's voice. But the awesome part for me was I can still remember being in line and not able to, having to put some of my groceries back because I didn't have enough in my account to buy what I needed. But I was still praying for the day that I would be able to buy someone else's. And I got back to my cart and it was like the Lord said, it happened. And I told the Lord, I want it to happen a lot. Can you just keep putting money in my account and putting people in my life? I mean, in my mind, you know how kind of your mind gets going crazy on you. But in my mind, I was sitting there and I was like, Lord, you know how awesome it would be, even if people aren't in need, to like get behind people who have a big cart full, and when they get to the very end, you're slipping the guy at the till, you're slipping him the money so they don't have to pay. I'm like, how cool would that be? Just to be such a blessing and be able to tell them, God bless you. God loves you. And just how cool that would be. So it just excited me. We give without an expectation of a return. I didn't give to that lady because I wanted something back from her. I gave because my father said, do this. Do this. And will I receive a harvest? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because my God keeps good records of books. Amen? And he blesses us and takes care of us. Luke 7, it says, faith cancels debts. Our faith saves us. He who has been forgiven much loves much. Matthew 10, and then Mark 6, Luke 9, and Luke 22. We talked about if it's in all four of the Gospels, you better listen, right? Workers are provided for. When you work, you are worthy of your wages. When you give yourself to the Lord fully, he will bless you and he will provide for you. Matthew 18, he's a forgiver of debts, and we need to be forgiven of debts. Forgive others what they owe, just as God forgave you. We talked about the story where the man who owned, I was researching that a little bit more, it was like $6 million if you calculated it all out, and the other guy owed him 20 bucks. And we look at that and we go, what? And we were talking about this in our women's thing yesterday. And I said, but the point of the person that was doing the article said, you come into church and you get just incredibly blessed by God in the service, and you walk out and you get in your car and someone cuts you off. Lord, just get them, you know? Because that's the same scenario. You come into church and you're blessed and he releases you and he takes care of you and he provides for you, and you turn around and you're yelling at the guy who cut you off. Ouch. I had to say ouch. Right? We need to practice being forgivers of debts, whether it's financial or just the person that cut you off. If all you can say is, God bless you, right? At least you're blessing them as they go. And then in Luke 12, it says we're supposed to be rich toward God. There was a story about the man who stored up all his riches and then he passed away. And everything he had was still in these barns. That's somebody else to use. It's not that God doesn't want us to have finances. We had finances in our account, but it wasn't, I was just storing them up for us. You have finances stored up so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Luke 12, it's treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in your checkbook, that's as far as it goes. And there's no stability. Money is a terrible God. I've told you this before. It'll put you through the ringer. Our God is a good God. Yes. Amen? Make sure your treasure is in heaven. Luke 15, a priceless treasure. Souls saved are like a treasure that was found that was lost. We talked about the woman who lost her coin and how she searched and searched and searched until she found it. When she found it, there was rejoicing. And Jesus was telling people to understand this so that when they realize when a soul comes to the kingdom, it's like that lost thing that was you look for and you finally found. Luke 16, lesson from a shrewd steward. Remember, I didn't like that one so much because it was just not a fun story. But we came down to the conclusion, don't be like him at all. Just don't be like him, and then you don't have to deal with his circumstance, right? Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, I want to follow him and serve him wholeheartedly. And Jesus says, but you lack one thing. His one thing, his money was his God. He put all his trust in his money. Says he was rich. Jesus told him, go sell everything and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. I don't want us to be like that. I want us, if the Lord tells us tomorrow to sell everything and give it to the poor, that we say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because we know he's our Father. He loves us and he'll provide for us. Luke 19, salvation and money. When you're right with God, your money is right. Boy, I need to stop thinking about that for a minute. When you're right with God, your money is right. If your relationship is right with him, money can't have a hold on you because God is number one. And if God's number one, money obviously is not first in your life. Luke 19, faithful with what you are given. Whatever God gives you, be faithful with it. Be faithful with it. Matthew 20, be grateful, not covetous. When God gives you something, it was a story where the landowner had called in different people at different times of the day to come and work for him, and the people who came first thought they should get more because the people who came in last got the same thing that they got when they got theirs first. Remember that? And they were upset about it. But did they have a right to be upset? No, they agreed to work for these wages, right? So don't be wanting something that somebody else has. Be rejoicing with them. Be praising the Lord that they got blessed. Amen? Rejoice with Liz that she got blessed, that she was able to pay her rent. Hallelujah. Amen. When we rejoice with them, it opens up our hearts to receive what God has for us. Don't be going, man, why didn't God do that for me? Well, take a look at your heart. Maybe you're the one closing the door on him. In Matthew 12, it says giving in trust. And we saw this last week with all the people coming in to give their huge, massive gifts. And the widow came and brought in less than a 20th of a penny. And Jesus pointed her out. Not all of them, but her. Because she gave trusting him with everything. Wow. These are powerful lessons that we learn from Jesus. They're all words in red. All things that he said. Amen. Journey with Jesus, learning about finances from the master. I don't know about you, but again, if I look through all these things, they all come down to one thing, your heart, the attitude of your heart. You know, you can fake everybody else, but you can't fake out God. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. Amen. So let's keep our hearts right with the Lord, and then our finances will just fall in place. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your words, Lord. Literally your words that you spoke to us to bring life and health and wholeness to our finances. And God, we just praise you and we thank you, Father. We are blessed to be a blessing. I pray, Lord, for every person in this room that you would give them, like you gave me, something that they can be believing for. Maybe for them it's to be able to... Maybe there's a family member that has a need and that they would be able to provide for that need. Maybe it's to be that person that when people pull up to the gas station, they pay for four people's gas fill-ups. Maybe whatever it is, Lord, give every person in this room a vision of something that you want them to do in giving. And then I pray, Father, that you would touch each one of us as we give our tithes and our offerings, as we are obedient, that, Father, our ears would be open to hear when you whisper and say, do this. And God, I know personally, it starts small. with a $5 bill or a $10 bill or a $20 bill. And Father, it grows, but as it grows, we grow and our level of faith grows and our finances grow. So when that day comes when you say, yeah, this is the one, pay for that, we get excited. We don't freak out. We don't panic. We get excited to be part of a blessing, to be your hands extended. But God, that we're not going to realize that we've made it if we don't have that goal and we don't have that plan. So in every heart today, anoint every person in this room with a vision of something they want to work toward. And then I pray, Father, that you would give them ears to hear your voice and a heart that's willing to say, yes, I will open up my hand and I will give when the Lord tells me to give. And Father, for every seed that's sown, whether it's $5 or $5,000, Father, I just thank you that there is going to be such a harvest of joy, of peace. My heart literally wanted to erupt. I was so full of your joy when this event happened. And God, I just pray for every person in this room that they would experience that joy. That's the joy of giving, the joy you feel every time when you bless us as your kids. And as your kids, we need to have that joy in our hearts too. And let it overflow to every person in this room. And God, may there be story after story after story of us reaching the thing we've prayed for. And God, I just pray you bless every person that gives today. Bless their seed. Multiply it 100-fold, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think we can go ahead and dismiss the kids this morning. Amen. God bless you, kids. Praise the Lord. So good to see you, girls. Thanks for my hugs. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, buddy. Thanks for my hug. Amen. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. We open our hearts to receive from you, Lord, today, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Well, I feel stirred, you know, as we're heading toward the Easter season, Passover, resurrection season, you know, to focus in on a few important things that the church needs to know, amen, as we go forward. And last fall, I did, I think, 3 messages on the fall feasts of the Lord and so forth, and how biblically, Leviticus 23 and so forth, those are prophetic feasts of things that have not yet happened, amen. The fall feasts of the Lord in the Bible are images or types of the return of Jesus Christ to planet Earth. Amen? And the spring feast, which is what we're about to go into now with Israel and the God's calendar, those are things that Jesus has fulfilled. Amen? Somebody say, Jesus has fulfilled it. Amen? And I chose this picture, this beautiful art picture. I'll turn the lights down a little bit for this so you can see it, but I really liked this. This is a picture of the Transfiguration, a beautiful, you know, artistic design of it. And, you know, you remember the story in Matthew 5 where Jesus takes 3 of his disciples, I think Peter, James, and John, up the mountain. And he is transfigured before them, complete, all his clothes are gleaming white. And Moses appears and Elijah appears, and they're having this little meeting. And the disciples must have been overwhelmed with, what is this, right? But one of the things I've learned over the past year is that Moses represents the law. Amen? The 10 commandments, the law is given to the children of Israel. Elijah represents the prophets, right? So Jesus, he said in Matthew 5:17, which is one of our foundation texts, is, do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen? And then one of our other foundation texts there is Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5. Now, after 6 days, Jesus, this is what we're talking about, actually. It's Matthew 17. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. Now, it's interesting that the Bible says after 6 days. To God, every day is as 1,000 years. So even since the Garden of Eden, as we're in, you know, these 2,000 years after Jesus is born and so forth, we're right about at the 7th millennium. starting right now. So after 6 days, Jesus takes his guys up the mountain and he is totally transfigured before them. Just think of it in terms as we're entering into this seventh millennium, the millennial reign of Christ is coming soon. I mean, any day, right? Based on history, based on what the Word of God shows and so forth. So it's really interesting to think of it in those terms. But after 6 days, he took Peter, James, and John, his brother, up, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, he's a little delirious, okay? Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out from the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now, think of it in these terms. Here's, you know, the disciples. We can build three tabernacles, one for the prophets, one for the law, and one for Jesus. And the Father speaks and says, No. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Now that must have been a little foundational changing for these men, these Jewish men. Right? So then we're not supposed to honor Moses, honor Elijah. No, what Jesus is saying is, no, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. So everything in this book, somebody say everything in this book, from Genesis through Revelation is about who? Jesus. So that's why reading through Numbers isn't boring. Reading through Leviticus is not boring because you're constantly thinking, how did Jesus finish this? How did Jesus complete this? When you're reading about offerings where they would bring animals to sacrifice, every one of those offerings, we need to think the blood, the blood, the blood. Why aren't they offering pigeons and bulls anymore? Because there was a better offering that came. They were all shadows. Somebody say shadows, right? Rehearsal for the real offering. Amen? Jesus came and laid his life. As we're going into this season, Passover, resurrection, be mindful of these things. There's some things the Lord wants us to be mindful of. Amen? 1 John 3:8 says this, For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not that he might destroy the law and the prophets, like many of his accusers said he was there to do. Right? No. Right? He came to fulfill the law and the prophets and to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? And don't you know that's what the church is here to do on planet Earth? Magnify Jesus, point people to Jesus, allow him to fulfill this, point him to Jesus. Somebody say, point him to Jesus. Destroy the works of the devil. Don't you know Corona is a work of the devil? We're not to be afraid of devils that pop their boo. No. What do? It's whack-a-mole, right? There's another one, poof, with the word of. There's another one, poof, with the word. We're ready. Somebody say we're ready. In season and out of season, I'm always on ready. We did a thing with Children's Ministry a number of years ago where we interviewed the Life Flight pilot. And the theme of our children's message was, get ready, be ready. And he was talking about how important it is that he is always ready. The helicopter is always ready, right down to him having his lunch right there in the helicopter. Amen. And then my camera battery died and we only got a little piece of the interview because I wasn't ready for this interview, right? Amen. Somebody say, always stay ready. Always be on ready. Ready for Jesus to return. Ready with the word. Amen. In football, they have what they call hot routes. And if the quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage and he sees a defense he doesn't like, he'll do a signal, point at his helmet, right? Move his leg, and the wide receiver goes, hot route. And he knows how to get around that defense and make a catch, right? So something good can happen. We need to have scriptures in our thinking, on cue cards, whatever, memorized, or have the word ready on our phones, so when the enemy pops his head up, we have an immediate response for his stupid attack. And the response is not, hide! Don't go to church. Don't go in public. Store up 90 days of food. That's not the response. The response is, okay, I see that devil. And guess what the word says? The word says, by his stripes I was healed. The word tells me, do not fear. The word says, I have authority over your ugly head. You know how the devil might, well, I bruised his heel. Remember how he bruised your heel? Because he was stomping on your head. I love that opening scene to The Passion of the Christ. I've only seen it once or twice because it's so graphic. It's a good movie to see, though. And the snake is slithering up to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's struggling and praying, and he's sweating the drops of blood. And then he just gets this, you know, the kind of the Jesus John Wayne look. We watched a good John Wayne movie last night. And he just gets this look in his face like, I've had it. I'm about to become John Wayne. Right? And he gets this look in his face, and he just stands up and crushes the snake under his head like, my decision has been made. I'm doing this. And we have the same authority that Jesus had on this earth. Amen? But this season that we're coming into, we're going to look at Passover today. We're going to look at, somebody might need to help me out because it's a little early right now. Passover, then there's Feast of Unleavened Bread, then there is the Feast of the First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. So we're gonna spend a Sunday on each one of these and show how he fulfilled them and what it means to you. Amen? There's other places you can go if you want to learn more details about the feast and that kind of stuff. But how many know it ain't about the feast? It's about how he fulfilled the feast. Amen. Open your Bible to Exodus 12. Amen. We got some notes pages back there. If you need a notes page, you can just wave at us. We'll get you one. But this is the only place I'll have you turn to today, because this is where Passover was instituted. Amen. Verses 1 through 11 says this, Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Say a lamb, right? Take for himself a lamb. Don't you know Jesus has to be your Savior? Just because he's my Savior doesn't mean he's Luke's Savior. Luke has to receive Jesus for himself. Right? Amen, Luke? Praise the Lord. According to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb will be without blemish. Somebody say without blemish. A male of the first year. You will take it from the sheep and from the goats. Verse 6, Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled, at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, verse 11, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What is the Lord about to do for his people? Set them free. I was watching Andrew Womack this past month, and he was doing a Black History Month thing with, man, what's Brother Barton's first name? David, thank you, Ann. David Barton, wallbuilders.com, American history from, you know, the truth about it. Right? Tremendous place to go. But he had Brother Barton on his broadcast, and he was talking about some African-American people that were foundational in our American history. I've never even heard of some of these people because they've been conveniently removed from our history books. He was talking about how the person that instituted abortion, their first reason why was to reduce the number of black people. They talked about Darwin, the whole theory of evolution. The darker your skin is, the less evolved you are. So even people from that political party that push those things don't realize how racist that stuff is. Amen? It's just nasty stuff. But what he was talking about, the Southern Bible for the Confederates, they conveniently removed books like Exodus out of the Bible. They just took it out. Why? So they could legitimately have slaves. Somebody say, God ain't into slavery. He is not into slavery, not into racism, all that kind of stuff. But God was about to do a supernatural deliverance for his people. Amen. And it began with the shedding of blood of an innocent, blameless lamb. They applied the blood over the door. Don't you know you and me can apply the blood of Jesus over our houses, right? Apply it over our families. Apply it in prayer. Amen. Because Jesus is the Passover lamb. That's where the connection is. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus is the Passover lamb. So when that death angel... Well, I thought the death angel was sent from God. And the death angel is the enemy, man. Right? So people that are doing bad things are loosening what? Bad things. You have laws where you can murder babies. That opens the door for things like corona. That opens the door for things like school shootings. That opens the door for crazy stuff. Storms and all this. You know what I'm saying? It's called the law of sowing and reaping. So as the church, we vote for people that are pro-life, people that are pro-Israel, people that are pro-God, pro-Bible. Amen? Why? Because we want the blessing of God on this nation. Amen? Well, the children of Israel right here were about to be set free, brought out of captivity in a supernatural way. Amen? And it's the connection we need to draw here, though, is that Jesus became the Passover lamb. In John 1:29, many years later, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming toward him and says, "Behold," what does he say? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Amen. That's who Jesus is. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So if my faith is in Jesus, that would tell me the curse has no place in my life. Not a little place. Not God might use it to teach me something in his infinite wisdom. Somebody say no. Zero. Somebody, zero curse. Zero death. Zero sickness. Zero tolerance. Zero fear. Why? Because Jesus has taken away sin. The curse of sin that was on this planet, that was over my life, when I put my faith in him and the blood that he shed on my behalf, somebody say, I get free. I get free. Amen. So that's what Passover should remind every one of us about, is the freedom that's in the blood of the Lamb, applied once and for all time for us. But we need to keep our faith there. Amen. And we know as we continue reading through the Old Testament that the children of Israel had issues keeping their faith right, keeping their focus correct. Amen. Praise the Lord. But John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Somebody say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away my sin." Hallelujah, right? That's why we can intercede for the whole world. Doesn't matter who's in office. There's a lot of people out there, all over the planet, of all different nationalities, that can be saved. Amen. We've heard testimonies of Muslim people that are having visions of Jesus. What's that mean? That means somebody's praying. Somebody's fasting, somebody's praying, interceding for people, and stuff's happening. He is still involved. Somebody say, he's still involved in this planet. Amen. Matthew 26:26-28. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. Drink from it, all of you. Somebody say, all of you, right? For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, what they were celebrating right here is Passover. This was Passover meal, because Jesus was about to be the Passover lamb. And Jesus also said, he said, you know what? From now on, when you have this meal, or as often as you have this, you don't have to just limit it to one day of the year. As often as you do this from now on, somebody say from now on, do this in remembrance of me. What must they have thought? Whoa. This is about Moses. This is about the children of Israel. No. Somebody say, not about Moses. Moses would tell you, not about me. Moses would tell you. Elijah would tell us. Abraham would tell us. Jesus told us. From now on, as often as you do this, it's about me. Amen. In the finished work he did for you. Hallelujah. Don't you know the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the blood of goats? It's better than the blood of pigeons. It's better than the blood of rams or lambs. Better. Somebody say better blood. Better blood means better things for you and for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to, you know, go into this part too. When we did Blood Bought over the years, Pastor Huck taught us about seven places Jesus shed his blood. And I've heard other people teach on it. It's wonderful teaching, wonderful things to remember. Remember, seven is the number of completion. Amen. He shed his blood seven different places. Somebody say, a complete redemption. And here's some things to remember. Number one, his blood, he bled from his pores, taking our fear, stress, worry, and giving us back our willpower. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating great drops of blood because he was under such intense pressure at that point. And I've even done studies about this where they say men who are about to be executed sometimes do this, where they're under such intense pressure that they actually sweat blood. Jesus, right there at that point, he wasn't operating as God on this planet. He was feeling the full pressure any man would feel, knowing what he was about to have to endure. So what does that mean? There's a meaning behind this. When he shed, don't you know, Adam blew everything in the Garden of Eden. Jesus got everything back in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then some. Hallelujah, right? So there we go. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be stressing and worrying. I don't have to say things like, I can never stop fill in the blank. I can never stop doing drugs. I can never stop fornicating. I can never stop griping and complaining. I can never stop whatever that thing that you need to stop is. You can. Somebody say, I can. Because of what Jesus did in the garden. Hallelujah. Number two, he shed blood inside, beaten and bruised, to free us from inner hurts and pain. And I put a couple of scripture references there. Luke 22, Isaiah 53. Amen. When they arrested him and they began to mock him and punch him in the face and slap him, he got bruises. Bruises are bleeding on the inside. And a lot of times we get wounds and hurts in life where we're actually hurt. Nobody can see it on the outside, but man, you're broken up on the inside. Jesus' blood covers that too. Somebody say there's nothing the blood doesn't touch. There's nothing he doesn't heal us and deliver us of. Even those inner pains, concussions, right? Depression, sorrow, some sort of abuse that happened in someone's life. Somebody say, totally covered. Totally covered by the blood. Amen? John 19 and Genesis 3 talks about he bled from his head with the crown of thorns, destroying the curse of poverty. Remember when they took the crown of thorns and they jammed it into his skull and the blood came gushing out over his head? Don't you know Jesus didn't do this for his enjoyment? But he did focus on the joy of it because he knew he was getting our salvation paid for. But none of this stuff was just, oh yeah, let's do that. No, no, no. There's a purpose behind it. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam lost everything, God said, Adam, guess what? From now on, you're going to have to eke out an existence, but there's going to be thorns and thistles. The ground is cursed. And Jesus took that curse on his head and shed blood, breaking the curse of poverty off of our lives, low-level thinking. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's why I can walk around confidently and say, he became poor. That doesn't mean Jesus lived a poor life. He was a blessed, I mean, he had rich guys looking for him the minute he was born. But at this moment, he lost everything. They took everything from him. He became poor so you and me could become, use the R word, rich. Somebody say, I'm rich. Just call me Richie. Hi, Rich. Richard. That's a great name, Rich. Amen. Somebody say, I'm rich. Well, yeah, but I don't feel, it don't matter how you feel. Be saying it. Don't be saying stuff like I'm broke, busted, disgusted. I'm on a limited income, a fixed income. No, God is fixing your income. That's why you tithe. That's why you sow. Amen. The blood set me free. Somebody say, the blood set me free. Amen. Number four, he bled from his back as they whipped him, destroying the power of sickness and disease. Matthew 27, Isaiah 53. What a complete salvation we have. By his stripes you were healed. Sickness has no place. Somebody say, no place. Again, if you check that movie out, The Passion of the Christ, the way that Mel Gibson produced that movie at this particular scene was the most graphic, I think. Oh, and it probably still didn't touch. I mean, his organs were exposed. There were literally chunks of flesh being pulled off of his back. It wasn't just a little whip. It had like chunks of glass and metal. And these guys were experts on torture. And that would have killed most men, what he endured. So why should I endure a sniffle, much less a corona, right? Or a cancer? What, you know what I'm saying? No, somebody say no. The price was paid. That thing can just go ahead and pass on over me. Ain't coming in my house. I'm passing on that. Maybe one way we could use Passover. You can just pass on by, devil. Not this house. Somebody say, not this house, not this church, not this body. No, I resist you, Satan, based on the blood. Hallelujah. Number five, he bled from his hands. Now, whatever we put our hands to, he will prosper. Matthew 27, Deuteronomy 28. These next two things, I think, are really touched on the word authority. He gave me the authority. When you touch a business, when you touch your family, when you touch whatever you're doing, your ministry, somebody say, God is going to prosper it because there's no more failure on you. Amen? What you do works. Somebody say, what I do works. What I say works. If I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. If I'm touching a business, if I'm sowing seed, somebody say, the word is working mightily because Jesus bled from his hands. Deuteronomy 28 covers the curse and the blessing in detail. Jesus redeemed me from the curse. At that point, amen. And then number six, he bled from his feet. Wherever we go, he'll give it to us as an inheritance. Matthew 27 and Joshua 1. Joshua 1 talks about wherever you put the soles of your feet. That's why you don't have to hide in your house when there's a sickness scare. Don't go to the mall. Don't go to the movies. Don't go to church. Don't give your spouse a hug. Don't touch your face. Come on. That's fear, man. We're faith people. You lay hands on, you speak to those curses and devils. When you watch the news, you're not watching it to be afraid. You're getting little bits to say, okay, now I know how to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you foul devil of corona, you whatever disease it is, the flu, we take authority over you. And when I go to my school, I'm not afraid of shootings or violence. Because why? Because the soles of my feet are in this place. When I go to my house, I'm not afraid of the devil coming into my house and messing it up. Because why? Because the soles of my feet are in this place. And he bled from his feet. So therefore, wherever I go, amen. Somebody say amen. This is great news. That's why the gospel is called the good news. Amen. And then number seven, he bled from his side when they pierced it. Healing broken hearts. John 19, Psalm 147. And again, these are just some things. You could dwell on this. The Lord will show you more things. But when he died, you remember the story? The soldier came and pierced his side, and blood and water flowed out, indicating that his heart had burst. He didn't die from the crucifixion. He didn't die from the whip. He didn't die from the mocking and the beating. He died because he gave up the ghost, and literally his heart exploded on the inside. Right? He came to die for the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenness in people's lives, to restore our union with the Father. Sin breaks God's heart, amen? But he took care of the sin problem, so now we can walk in wholeness before God, before one another. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what are we going to do with the curse? Anything of the curse, sin, whatever? We're just letting it pass on by. Just go ahead. Devil, somebody else probably will welcome that, but not me. Not me. In fact, it runs from me. Like if you go into a dark room and you just light a little pin light, what happens? Lights up the whole room. Amen. And that's what we are on this planet. We are lights shining for the glory of Jesus. Somebody say, my faith is in the finished work that Jesus completed on my behalf. Amen. So those were seven places his blood was shed, destroying sin and the curse's power over us. Glory to God. Amen. So when you hear Passover, I did a job once in business for a lady, a Jewish woman, and she was preparing the food for Passover. I think it was Passover. And she said, you know what? We do this every year, but we don't know why we're doing it. We just do it. It's like, well, there's a missing piece there, right? Jesus is the Passover lamb, the Messiah. Amen. That's who we're celebrating. Somebody say amen. So every time you take the bread and the cup and you receive communion, you're receiving that Passover meal. You're saying, you know what? Curse, no place in my life. No place in my life. No place in my family. No place in my church. No place in my nation, my community. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and stand up on your feet, and we'll close it up in prayer this morning. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and thank him for his goodness today. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you for the power of the blood of Jesus that covers us, that cleanses us and washes us and sets us free from the curse in every area of our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen.